Hey, yo, listener. I'm Andrea.
And I'm Chastity.
And this is...
Why am I reading this?
Am I reading this?
Oh, no. Uh-oh. Oh, my.
Yeah.
What do we have today?
We have Grave Robber Roses by A.M. Kelly.
It's a comfy week.
It is. Oh, thank God.
I know. I needed a comfy week. Although I read comfy week and I read next week's weird week in one sitting.
Holy
it was while I got
moly.
I was getting my hair done. I turned to and this was a new hairstylist, mind you. So I finally found a new hairstylist up here in Minneapolis. And so we were talking and I finally was like, hey, when I start reading my books, just I run this podcast and the point of the podcast is to read really weird books. And she's like, your book wasn't that weird. And I was like, no. Cause she saw Grave Robber Roses. And I was like, no, the next one. And halfway through, she saw the faces I was making. She's like, do you like doing this? And I'm like, sometimes.
Yes. Right? It's like, I'm crying, but I like to do this.
But I loved this week's. I loved this week's.
Yeah, this one was very cute. So let's get into judging this book by its flipping cover.
Judge a book by its cover, yeah.
Boo.
Okay, so this cover actually made me kind of scared. I was getting Harriet Porber vibes from it. Well, because it's like not that great done. It looks like really bad digital art.
I suppose. I mean,
you liked it, didn't you?
Huh. It's not that okay, here's the thing. I don't love it. But I was not getting Harriet Porber from that.
Oh.
Harriet Porber looked like a shitty collage. This one at least had, like, some cohesion. Like, okay. Is it the most professional looking?
No.
But, I mean, it's also a 76-page book, you know? It's... Yeah. I wasn't expecting there to be, like, you know, a $150, you know, you paid somebody to create this cover sort of situation.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, we've got this kind of, like, night scene with the full moon in the background.
Ah.
And so it's kind of interesting because we have kind of this really realistic looking moon. We've got sort of these, like, clip art sort of things over the top.
See, that's why. That's why I got Harriet Porber feels.
Yeah, I can see that, but it wasn't as chaotic.
Agreed.
It's not as chaotic at all. So then in the sort of middle ground, we've got this like sort of weeping spooky tree silhouetted in the background. And there's a cross headstone. And then in the foreground, we've got two figures. One appears male. One appears to be a female nurse. The male is holding a book and a skull. And they are both... neither of them have faces, which is kind of odd, but, they're both in like burgundy, white, and black. Those are the only three colors on them.
Yeah.
And it's kind of line art-like.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Line art-like. Yeah.
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 Yeah. And honestly, like, I don't know about you. I went into this not knowing really what it was about.
Same.
I
literally didn't even look at the synopsis.
I didn't either.
Yeah, I just opened it and started reading it. And I know I keep on taking it back to Harriet Porber, but just like with Harriet Porber, this book very happily surprised me. Very happily.
I will say I wasn't surprised by it, but I was pleased.
Pleased.
So, yeah. So, let's see. Who read the thingy last time? For Unhinged?
Was it me? I think it was me.
Okay.
You can read it.
Get into this. Okay, here comes your spoiler-free synopsis, guys. So, In 1878, a necromage disguised as a man runs away to make a name for herself in academia, despite a fierce rival and an alluring lady love interest.
Ooh.
Which, by the way, because I didn't read this, I did not realize that there was gay in this one, and I'm very happy about
it. I swear, it's like it comes to us. Gay attracts to us like stink on shit, and it just, yeah. The queer calls to us.
Oh my God.
When I was reading this and like I realized there was a female love interest, I'm like, hell yeah, how does this keep happening to me? This is the best ever.
It's all good.
It's like fate was like, I'm gonna put you with a man in marriage, but I'm gonna keep giving you gay romance to make up for it.
Girls.
And I'm gonna be like, thank you, but now I just remember what I'm missing out on.
Shit.
Fuck.
The good news is you're poly.
Oh, that's
so
true.
You can fix that.
But the bad news is like, I'm a PhD student, so I don't have time to be poly.
Time, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, so that's just like the big like tagline subtitle situation.
Sorry.
So when Wilhelmina Ashton realizes that her father has no intention of allowing her to study for a degree in necromancy, she disguises herself as a man and runs off to make a name for herself. Luckily, the Medical and Magical College of Charleston is desperate for students after being all but destroyed during the Civil War and won't look too closely at her forged papers. Mm-hmm. Ashton must now face a fierce new academic rival, the ruthless and well-connected Frenchman Valois. Not to mention the distracting temptations of a certain nursing student Southern Belle Ashton can't seem to stay away from.
Oh.
Ashton is determined to earn the respect of the academic community, no matter how many lies she has to tell, or hearts she has to break, or dead bodies she has to raise. I've gotten back into reading audiobooks, so
yes.
The dramatic voices are back, babe.
Yes. I love it. I live for it.
So yeah, that is our spoiler free synopsis, which I mean
is kind of spoilery
as far as the lady love goes.
Definitely
Yeah, but I feel like the rest of it was pretty straightforward there.
True.
Nice surface level. So yeah, should we jump in?
We should. Well, let's see. Why do I always do this?
I don't know.
Then yes. Let's go into the spoiler full discussion. So warning.
Spoilers.
Warning.
Wee-hoo-wee-hoo.
Warning. We are going into.
Why'd I say it four times?
I don't know.
Warning.
We are going into spoilers. So if you want to avoid that. Why the fuck you here? You should have caught on to our
shtick by now.
Yeah. Come on, guys.
Yep. So, I know that the little synopsis says that it's 1878, but at the beginning of the book, it says 1877.
Huh.
Because I did write that down.
Huh. That's weird.
And we start in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where is where my dad grew up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm just...
I'll have to regale you of stories of his best friend, Forrest, and how occasionally he says, draw.
Your dad?
Or Kathy. Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. I need to hear this.
He seems like such a through and through Californian, and it's a lie.
Oh, my... He done did trick me.
Yeah, you have to be around him when he's tired, because that's when he slips.
Well, yeah, that's kind of like my Southern accent doesn't come out, except for the word accent. But that it doesn't come out unless I'm drunk or tired, so.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever actually heard you.
You haven't seen slip. Me. You haven't seen me, like, blackout drunk.
Oh, that drunk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I went to...
I have seen you pleasantly tipsy.
Yeah. No, this was like, I went to, like... allegedly I went to voice therapy or speech therapy. There we go. That's the word. Clearly I still need it. I went to speech therapy because it was so thick and I'm from Iowa. The rest of my family's from the South.
Oh, okay,
I'm the only one from Iowa, but I was like, howdy, y'all.
That's so funny. Yeah. So where in the South?
My family's from Georgia.
Okay, yeah. So we're talking deep South. Yeah. Right. Do you love me a Georgia accent?
So when the nurse in this book, she was like all Southern charm, I'm like, bless her heart.
bless her heart and other parts. Yeah.
All right, so it's 1877,
78, whatever.
Something like that.
Yeah. And, as the little synopsis says, Wilhelmina she bursts into her father's office and is like,
bitch.
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 Bitch. Yes.
Yeah, like, excuse you. And we find out over the course of the kind of beginning of this book that, obviously we are in a historical fantasy sort of situation.
Yeah.
With magic. And I guess everybody has like their specialty or their affinity.
Yeah. So it's like, new age. It's like, you know, 1870s America, but
yeah,
magic as well added to it. Yeah. Actually, one of my notes was like, I know what year it is, but what fucking year is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, I will say that when it comes to, like, you know, dubious historical things, everybody tends to go for Victorian England, or in this case, the US, or medieval.
Yep. Yep.
Like, everything where it's just like, it's historical-ish. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, this one, late Victorian England.
But America.
But America. That's right. Sorry. I'm thinking Victorian, that's why.
Yeah, yeah.
Post-Civil War era.
There we go.
How about that?
Post-Civil
War.
There
we are.
We're proud of America, and Hamilton wrote 87 whatevers, and... Isn't it 87 or 86? I don't know. I don't remember the song off the top of my head.
Hamilton wrote the other 59.
There we go. 59. Anyway,
there it was. Anyway, no, that was like 100 years before this, though.
Yeah. Oh. I'm American. I don't know history. Shit.
I do. It's my special interest.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Actually, it's more the fashion, but anyway.
But anyway, yeah, so she's mad at her dad, and her dad gets all uppity with, like, girl.
You know.
But
you're a woman.
You a woman. You can't do thoughts. That's crazy talk.
Not only can you not do thoughts, you most certainly cannot do necromancy.
Yes, because men.
Because apparently your abilities as a necromage are stored in the balls or something.
But she's one of the best necromages that he's ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's apparently this thing is called the Lovelace scale.
Yes.
And she's a 7 on that scale, which is pretty accomplished.
Yes. Very. Especially since she hasn't gotten any training.
Yeah. I should say not accomplished. Strong.
Very strong.
Yeah.
Because that means she can use her magic up to like 30 feet or so. And that's like unheard of.
Yeah.
Usually people have to, like, come in contact and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. So, yeah, we find that out a little bit later, but it's a good place to explain it.
Yeah, yeah. She's very good at it, naturally so.
Yeah.
But still, he's like, it's in the balls, dear. You cannot do the thing.
And she's like, okay, fuck you.
I'll make my own balls, my own fake balls. Shit.
Yeah. So I loved the whole, like, she goes over to her friend Bridget's house.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, girl, I need a makeover.
I'm going to go to Bridget. She's going to give me balls.
Yeah. And, So, you know, Bridget is, like, crying as she's cutting Wilhelmina's hair.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, I tailored these suits for you. They belong to, like, my cousin or something stupid like that. And he doesn't wear them anymore, so here you go. And,
I mean, that's a girl's girl.
Yeah.
That's a girl's girl. She's
crying
while doing it, but she's doing it. So.
It's the Bob's Burger. Okay, fine. I'll go, but I'm going to complain the whole time.
Exactly. Exactly. That's support.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for real. So, oh yeah, and the other thing, and Wilhelmina, we probably going forward are going to refer to as Ashton.
Yeah.
Because that's how she's referred to for every other chapter in this book.
Yep.
But anyway, she also stole $5,000 from her dad.
Which in those times is the equivalent of, let's look that up.
Let's find out. I'm surprised I didn't.
1870s U.S.
Dollars
to today. Inflation calculator. Let's go.
We're probably looking at, like, adding a couple zeros on the end of that.
Yeah. She took $5,000?
Yep.
Let's look. Ooh, you want to guess?
I couldn't even start to guess.
Ooh.
Hit me with that number, babe.
$119,873.66.
That's why she was like, this'll get me through the school year, no problem. Yeah, I'm pretty frugal. I'm like, girl, you could be a spendy and still probably be okay.
She could live off that for probably all 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. I imagine that A.M. Kelly here probably didn't do that bit of research. Maybe they did. I don't know. I don't even know if they're female or male. I should look.
I was going to say, should we look that up?
She.
Hell yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised finding out that this is a woman. Her sex scenes were, But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yes, we is. So, anyway, yeah. After stealing some dough from Daddy Ashton there.
He deserved it. I'm just saying, if he didn't want his money stolen, why did he, like, have it out and accessible?
I'm just saying
he deserved it. That's all.
Yeah. He was asking for it.
Asking for it 100%. Why do you even have that money if he didn't want it to get stolen?
God. JDs and Lentilmen, can you tell we have our sassy pants on tonight?
But yeah, she steals it. She goes and becomes she Mulans that shit.
Hells yeah.
Only, you know, and then she gives us the Mulan we always wanted that is a queer Mulan.
Oh. Mm. Oh yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well, I mean, even in the Disney film, she found herself a bi boy, so.
She did find herself a, I mean, we did get the queer and it was Shang.
Oh, it was Shang.
It was Shang through and through.
He's the gym bisexual.
He is. I love those. Gym bisexuals are chef's kiss.
Yes. So anyways, yes, she saunters her fine male-looking butt to Charleston. Mm-hmm. And immediately upon arrival at the school, there are freaking protesters outside.
Which is always a great sign.
Oh, that's always a beautiful start.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're spouting some evangelical bullshit about, you know, they teach evil and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
That's my interpretation of that.
How crazy do you think evangelicals would be if magic was real?
Oh, fuck. Here's the thing. If it had always been a thing, I don't think they would have had as much of a problem with it, but if it just suddenly appeared, do you know how many bricks of shit we could pave our roads with the bricks of shit? Welcome for that visual.
Paved roads with bricks of shit. Gotcha.
Yes. The road to magic is paved with the shits of sad evangelicals.
I'm just saying, like, when I read them, like, picketing against this school, I was like, I feel like they should be doing worse things. Like, I feel like they should, like, flat out be, like, trying to, like, destroy the wall or something.
Well, I mean, half of the school was fucked up anyway, because Civil War shit, so.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, this is in the South, so. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know. But, yeah, so she just is kind of like, okay, I don't need to let you guys know that I'm actually a necromage. Bye. And that is when she comes across Gabrielle Valois.
A.K.A. Draco Malfoy. Why'd I say Malfoy? Malfoy. It's
Malfoy.
He's Draco. Malfoy. He is Draco Malfoy through and through. Like
10,000%.
Yeah. Like, okay, I kept on picturing Lucius Malfoy, but the personality is Draco.
I'm going to tell my father about this.
Who I look like.
Yeah. I love how we both have to like tip our heads up to do that. Yeah, and he is also every French stereotype.
He is.
He is brusque, he is rude, he is uppity. They are not all like that, I promise.
But he's the Draco, he's the bully, he's...
Yeah.
He thinks he's better than everyone.
I mean, because in some ways he actually is.
He is in academia sense, but like, that's it. His only friend... Like, his only friend, he made his only friend.
Literally. Literally created his friend, because he's got a human-esque familiar, which is apparently really unusual.
He has a dead body.
Yeah.
As a familiar. So that means he just, like, brought someone to life and was like, you're my friend now, we're gonna have fish tacos later. And it's like...
You're going to be my flesh puppet.
Yeah, you are lonely. You know what, my dude? Yeah. Maybe if you just started looking at your personality and been like, maybe I shouldn't just rip up people's papers that I don't know, and then maybe I'd have living friends. No? You don't want to do that?
Yeah.
Too much introspection?
Living friends, they can turn on you. you don't know what they're going to do, but when you create your own, then you can control them and you know what they're going to be doing.
Control them!
Fuck! I told you the character voices are back.
Oh, I love it. I'm living
Holy
for
shit.
It. So he rips up Ashton's papers because he's just a dick and he's literally
he's a dick.
Like, I don't want you here because honestly, I think it's he just doesn't want the competition.
I don't know if he even views Ashton as competition. I think he's just like, no.
He should.
I did not like you immediately, so you must leave.
Yeah, pretty much. And then our lovely Southern Belle walks in, who is the
who
nurse.
Who has an Irish name.
Yes.
Her name is Roisin.
She's so cute.
She's adorable.
I know. I fell in love with her pretty fast.
Oh, immediately. Yeah,
she's written really well. And not only did we fall in love with her immediately, Ashton falls in love with her immediately.
Oh, honey, you could see the dust cloud
come from her vagina.
Falling. Oh.
Wait, the dust cloud.
That has other implications.
Oh. I'm saying it's been
I was
a while
thinking,
for her.
Oh, uh-huh. I mean, if ever. Mm. This is the 1870s, after all, and she is an unwed female.
You're right. I think she did comment that it was her... Okay.
So, yeah. But here's the cool thing about Roisin is that not only does she just show up in all of her delightful nursing glory, she also is like, fuck off, Valois.
Yeah. Literally.
And just... straight up gives him attitude, which is fabulous.
Yeah, she's a strong ass bitch who don't need no man, and it's like, I fuck with that. I fuck with
that. Yeah. When I was reading it, because I didn't know that there was supposed to be any queerness at all in this book, and I was just kind of like, damn, Ashton is really deep in the role here. You really feeling that masculine energy.
Yeah, I was waiting for the whole, like, wait a minute, am I really a man? But no, she's just gay.
Yeah. So gay. But yeah, after Roisin gets Valois to fuck off, she helps Ashton gather all of her ripped pieces of paperwork and, like, convinces the registrar to be like,
yeah, sure, this is fine. And all she does to talk her into it, she's literally like, look how nice your hair... Or no, she's literally like, darling, look at how nice that hair is. That's some good hair. What'd you do with it? And like, just with that Southern charm.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
and
I've seen this happen.
Yes, there is something to be said about...
Southern charm.
The Southern charm. Mm. Yeah,
it's true.
And it's like y'all don't even try. I don't understand.
It's in the blood. That's all it is. It's in the blood.
I think you're all born of sirens. I don't know.
We're that close to the water, so...
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know there are sirens down in the levee.
Yeah. And we fucked them. We fucked them good.
Oh, I'm sure.
We got them.
I'm sure you did.
We got them eggs or them semens, you know, whichever one. And
whatever.
And we made our babies. Yeah. And here we are. You know what? If I was half siren, that would kind of make sense.
You've got the mermaid hair.
Ha! I do right now. No, I'm just saying, like, how, like, I can walk in a room and make everybody my friend.
Yeah.
So that would make a lot of sense. Just saying. But anyway. So, yeah.
If anything, I think I'm part brownie.
Oh, you can fix stuff?
Don't look at me. But yes, I also, I must fix.
Must fix.
Do craft.
Yes.
Must do things.
Yes.
But yeah.
Ashton's now a student, and she goes to her first class.
Which is an anatomy class, but it is very hands-on.
Oh my god, I can relate, Ashton, about how hard these anatomy classes are. I just had a breakdown last semester over an anatomy class. Yeah. Those bitches are hard. Though the teachers are nice. For mine, my teachers were very nice.
Yeah, the teacher for this...
is
particular
a
anatomy class kind of straddles the line.
Kind of.
Because they're like, I'm going to make this class so ridiculously hard that it's going to weed out the idiots.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the other hand, very much into the hands-on aspect of like, no, let's get into a dissection. Mm-hmm. Let's start looking at what it actually is, not an artist rendering.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. That's true.
Which I respect.
Yeah. But... of course, our French bitch is in this class as the TA.
Yeah.
And French bitch has decided, I am going to make Ashton's life a living hell.
Yeah.
And starts fucking with Ashton in class.
To the point where it gets physical.
Yeah.
Valois fucking smacks Ashton across the face.
Uh-huh. Wait, was that? I thought that was in the library. That didn't happen yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That didn't happen
yet. Curses. He curses in class.
Yeah, and then he, quote unquote, bumps Ashton.
Yeah.
And Ashton gets cut with a scalpel.
Yeah. In the middle of a dissection, it was kind of gross.
It's silver and gross.
But of course, that means that Ashton has to go to the infirmary.
Guess who's
a nursing student working at the infirmary?
No, it's so hard.
It's Roisin.
Oh, good.
Oh, no.
Oh, me, oh, ma.
Yes. And we get to see some theramagy in action.
Yes.
Which is what they call the healing. Which my brain was thinking thermomagy.
So she's just using fire on him or something?
Yeah, no. But every time I see theramagy, I wasn't thinking therapy. I was thinking therma.
Oh.
Because my fucking dyslexia.
Oh, don't worry. I kept on reading theremin. And I was like, are they sitting
that's
there with
spelled
the
spelled very differently.
With the music. With the
Yes. I want to learn how to play the theremin.
Do it.
I want to learn.
I will be so
badly.
Impressed. I'll go to every concert.
I just don't like the weird hand motions they have to make. It's very strange.
I love it.
Anyways, so they have, we find out that Roisin is a loveless level 6.
Yes.
So she has to physically touch the person that she's healing. She also uses like crystals and things like that. But of course, that means they got a whole hand.
Oh, no. Oh, they got a touch.
They got a touch.
Oh, that's so bad. And it's so cute because, like, Ashton's clearly a baby gay because the entire time she's she's like, oh, my God, but I'm a girl, but she's a girl. But I want
to
kiss her on the mouth and other places, too.
Yeah.
Just mwah.
But yeah, and in such a cute, like, clumsy, I just want to spend time with you way, was like, can you tutor me? Please? Because you have to do anatomy too, right? Please?
Please.
And she's like, of course, honey. So they set up a little library date.
It's so cute.
It was so cute.
But then our Draco fucking Malfoy has to ruin it.
Oh, sorry. Before that, oh, can okay. I just insert a little thing here?
Yeah.
The puppy love. Adorable.
It's so cute.
Because there's like a week between when they set this date and when they actually meet up in the library, and that entire week, Ashton is going to the library and like figuring out like where's the best way place for us to sit together so that like she doesn't need a chaperone, mm-hmm. but it's kind of secluded and mm-hmm. yeah. And he like or she, oh my gosh. Sorry. She arrives like an hour early
yeah.
to make sure that she gets that table.
Yeah. It's so and fucking cute.
Yeah.
Oh, baby gays. Baby. They would be U-Haulers these days. 100%.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like
2 weeks in.
Mm-hmm. 100.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are why U-Haulers exist because it's true. It's true.
Sometimes you just click.
Mm-hmm. And lesbians yeah. click the most.
Well, you know, when you got that energy.
I'm just saying, a bunch of my friends, okay, bunch of my friends. Well, like, two of my really close friends that I hang out with regularly, Anna and Shelby, you better be listening to this. They are U-Haul lesbians through and through. They are flat out, like, they actually U-Hauled immediately. And now they're happily married with their two dogs.
Like, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
They, like, jokingly so, you know, call themselves U-Haul lesbians, so...
Sometimes when you know it's good, it's good.
Exactly. So yeah, so they start their cute little date.
Yeah. And that's when Valois comes in.
Yeah. I'm trying
Draco
to think of
bitch.
Yeah, Fraco built bitch boy, I don't know.
Mako Dalfoy.
I'm trying to like mix their names together and it's not French Draco Malfoy. What the fuck?
Yes. So yeah, he comes in and this is when the punch happens.
Well first what happened was he insults that Ashton yeah. is studying with a girl because you know,
and a nursing student.
Yeah, girls are stupid.
He's like,
so Ashton,
like, gosh, you've lowered yourself to this level.
Yeah, so Ashton slaps him and his response was to punch Ashton.
Did I get that backwards?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Ashton slaps first, and she's, like, has this inner monologue of, like, fuck. I just offended him so badly, because not only was it not a punch, it was a fucking slap. And his response was to punch him.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I goofed.
Or punched her. Ha!
You did it, too!
I did it, too!
Yeah.
So then French Draco, I'm not going to say the Malfoy. Clearly, I can't say that. French Draco is then like, I can't say that either. Blah, blah, blah. French Draco is like, you know what? We're doing a fucking duel because it's the South. And at first, I was excited. I was like, oh, yeah, magic duel. It's going to be so cool. Yeah. No, this is fucking Hamilton bullshit.
Yeah. And throughout, in between every one of the chapters, there has actually been a list of dueling rules, duel rules, if you will, that as I was reading them, I was like, wait, because it doesn't explicitly say anything about dueling.
Yeah.
But, like, if y'all have listened to Hamilton.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
The 10 dual commandments.
The 10 dual commandments.
It's kind of there.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's kind of where this whole thing has been leading toward.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this place that has been dubbed Dueler's Alley, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I loved this so much. Roisin comes as Ashton's second.
Yes. And it's funny because once the duel starts, and they're like, you picked a girl, and, you know, French Draco is like,
yes,
you picked a girl, and Ashton wants to be like, you picked your fucking fake best friend, but she hasn't outed him. She just kind of stares, and there's, like, this, like, silent moment of understanding of, like, don't bitch about my girl, and I won't tell everyone you're so lonely that your best friend's a dead body that you carry around.
Yeah, kind of. And it goes how you might expect it would have gone in real life. Ashton definitely gets shot in the shoulder.
Yep, because not only is French Draco good at magic, he's, like, been raised by, like, some army political aficionado, so he can shoot too, because why the fuck not?
And Ashton has never shot a gun.
Ever.
Ever. So, yeah, we're in a wee bit of trouble there.
A bit.
So, yeah, and of course, Roisin is like, oh no, I will heal you, but then the police come.
Well, before that, before the police come, French Draco has his dead bitch hold down Roisin, because he's a cunt.
That's right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Imagine how bad he smells. The dead friend.
Well, I imagine that the necromagey, you know, that's part of the halted decay situation.
Now, I feel like his insides are, like, all decayed, so when you get close to him, he's stanky. And he was, like, on her, holding her down. Yeah. At least that's how I picked
it. I don't like that. I don't like it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's no description of that. But, yeah, so after that, yeah, the police come, because even though dueling is technically legal in Charleston, it doesn't mean
everything's legal in New Jersey.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking that the whole time. I was like, oh, shit. But, yeah, so they're like, well, the police don't need to, you know, charge you with anything to take you in. So they're like, ah, fuck, run. And they end up, Roisin and Ashton end up in a graveyard. Mm. And obviously, because it is a shoulder wound, a la Mulan.
A la Mulan.
Le clothing, it must come off.
And she's like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. Oh, shit.
Yeah. And as things get a little hot and heavy, get a little kissing on, a little clothing coming off.
Because there's nothing sexier than being in a graveyard and dying of blood loss. This was a horny goth kid's dream.
Oh my god, this was Mary Shelley.
This 100%.
Mm-hmm. Which, listeners, if you don't know, Mary Shelley lost her virginity on her own mother's grave.
Yeah.
She is top tier goth chick. But yeah, and we find out that when a theramage heals someone, they get a little bit of insight into the rest of their anatomy. Yes.
When I was reading it, I called that. I was like, shit, you're already hurt? Yeah, the second someone touches your body, they're gonna know. And the second she said that, I was like, fucking called it.
Yep. That was good. And, like, Roisin. Mm-hmm. 25 out of 10.
Oh, yeah.
She respects Ashton's boundaries.
Uh-huh.
And is sensitive to the point where she's almost treating Ashton like she's trans.
I think Roisin thought Ashton was trans.
Yeah. Because she was like, you know, if you want to leave the binder on, that's totally fine. Yeah. If you don't want me touching, whatever. And of course, Ashton is like, put your hands on me.
Please touch now. Yeah. And she even says, like, she's like, she makes a comment of, like, men without dicks or something like that. I forgot what it was, but it's like,
yeah, I don't recall.
And then Ashton has to be like, no, am girl. We can.
Yeah. And boy, do they ever.
Oh, my God. And that's how I had an idea that this author was a female, because that sex scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Might have read it twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just kind of sitting here at my desk like, hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, then they go back. They go back home, and Ashton writes a bit of a delayed letter to Bridget.
Yeah.
Letting her best friend know all the shit that's gone down.
She's literally like, I got a girlfriend.
I got a girlfriend.
I got a girlfriend. It's great.
Yeah. And that's where the fucking book ends.
Yeah.
I was so mad.
I was too, because I'm like, that's it? That's not the end of a story. That's the first chapter. Like, well, that's like the first like 15 chapters. Part. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Now, this is a series.
Of two.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it was one or two or however many.
It's just two. This is the first one.
Yeah.
And I feel like this book was actually like the world building.
Prologue.
Yeah, prologue. And the next book is like the actual book. Because the next book is actually a longer book.
Okay.
Because I bought it.
I mean.
Immediately.
Oh.
Literally.
Of course you did.
I finished it, got mad, and bought it immediately.
Have you read it?
Not yet. I started it.
Not yet.
Okay. I started it, and then I was like, I should probably work more on podcast books. And did that.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like. I wish that it was a little bit more finished.
Because it just stops out of nowhere.
Yeah, I was expecting there to be lots more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Yeah.
You know.
It's the equivalent of like, no, you know what it's the equivalent of? Remember when everyone went and saw the new Through the Spider-Verse movie and no one knew that it was going to end with a to be continued, and then out of nowhere it just ends in the middle of the climax and says to be continued.
Yeah.
It's that feeling. Because I remember being in that theater with my kid, and like the second it said to be continued, he and I screamed in unison, what? And the stranger
lost their shit.
Well, the stranger sitting to our left, hearing us scream that in unison, busted up laughing. Just died laughing. And we're both just like, that's not an ending. Like, that's not even a to be continued ending. That's like the middle of the goddamn movie. So it was that feeling. I love that. It was that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or like back in the old days when movies had intermissions.
I never remember intermissions.
I went to exactly one movie where they had an intermission, and it was a school trip where we were watching Return of the King.
That makes sense, because it's Return of the King.
Yeah, and it's long as hell, and they had a bunch of, like, fifth graders in there.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, whenever you have that, like, random break in the middle where it's like, but I want more.
Give me.
Yeah.
Need to know when French Draco gets his ass handed to him on a silver platter. A French silver platter.
Need more girl.
Oh my god, I need more. Well, yeah, because, what's her name? Not Ashton, the other one.
Roisin?
Roisin didn't even get naked.
She did not.
We need to see them Ted Tops. We need to see them.
Yeah. I mean, she kind of did the skirt hoisting.
She did the skirt hoisting, which was hot.
Which, kind of hot.
But
yeah.
But I want to hear the description of them ditties. Like, give me one.
Well, I mean, we know she's ginger, so.
let me hear about them freckles. But yeah, so I hope it goes more into Did I just kill you with that?
So should they read this, and what would you rate it?
So here's the thing. I really enjoyed this book. I thought, like, good writing. It needs a little bit of editing. Just a little bit.
A little bit. It wasn't too bad.
It wasn't too bad. The pace was great. Mm-hmm. Kept me involved the entire time. The character building, great. And for such a short book, character building was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, My only complaint was that how it just, like, ended in the middle of everything. So I would actually give it, like, an 8 or a 9.
Yeah.
Like, the only huge drawback was it stopped out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So, yes, so, please read this book. It is for free on Amazon at the moment.
Yeah.
And go read it. It's very good. Very fast read.
Yeah.
It's really cute.
Yeah. And like, even if you are weird like me and history is one of your special interests, there are not very many things that will draw you out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Because I'm a bit of a stickler. Because it's my special interest and I can't not.
Yeah. No, I feel that. I feel that.
But yeah. Yeah. Please go read this fun little story and read the sequel and...
Yeah.
Love on A.M. Kelly.
The sequel, actually, like, one of the first pages has a list of the different levels to understand them better.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
I got really excited about that one. So, anyway, so excellent. Should we plug some socials?
Yes. You can find us on the face of books and the Instagrams at Why Am I Reading This Podcast?
Woo. And actually, as a matter of fact, we have started a Tickle Tockle. And we are, Why Am I Reading This Pod, I think. Wait.
Oh.
Am I reading this podcast? Or why am I reading this podcast?
I don't know.
Or are we, why am I reading this pod?
You made the thing. I don't know.
But I send it to you, and I have the memory of a cucumber. Okay, it's Why Am I Reading This Pod. Cool. Cool, cool, cool. Cool, 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 cool.
Wait. Pod?
Podcast. Podcast.
Podcast.
Podcast.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So why am I reading this podcast? It's all just kind of blah, 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 together.
Yep.
You can relive some of the funnier bits of our Harriet Porber episode.
Yeah, that's all I've got up so far. I'll work on other ones. They take a while.
I'm like, you literally created that like yesterday.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I finished it today. So.
Yeah. And it's very cute. I may have watched it a few times.
I know, right? It flows really funny, so.
It does.
And done.
We're funny.
And done.
Oh, boy. Well,
all right,
thank
guys.
Y'all for reading.
Yeah.
Listening.
Reading? Oh, I mean, please go read, and then we can thank you for reading. There you go. There you go.
Thank you for listening
thank
to
you
us.
Thank you for listening to us. It's great that people listen.
Oh my god.
Next Yay. Week we'll be in tow for a weird one. And boy howdy.
We've both already read it.
It's a weird one.
Ooh, boy.
It's
Yeah, it's a weird one. It's a weird trilogy.
It's something.
It's something.
Yeah.
So keep an ear out for that, and we will see you next time on
Why Am I Reading This? Why?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.